Well, if by chance we haven't had a chance to express in behalf of Father Wirth and Father Cody, the deacons of the parish, as well as the St. Thomas More staff, wish you blessings of Christmas and of New Year's. Perhaps maybe you or we didn't have the chance to express that message to you. You were gone traveling and or whatever the situation may be. And so I, along with them, Father Don, wish you those blessings in the coming year. Tomorrow, as we celebrate Epiphany today, tomorrow the Universal Church celebrates the baptism of the Lord. And along with that, we begin ordinary time. And so the Environment Committee, Environment people that are responsible for all of these things are going to do their magic once again and change this from the Christmas season into ordinary time. And already the use of St. Thomas More have been added in the gathering area, taking down this huge tree. And as they put up the tree and take it down every year, one of the great ministries that our youth do, along with so many other things. So next week, ordinary time. And then before we know it, we're going to start Lent. Of all the days of the year, Lent begins Ash Wednesday, of course, but Ash Wednesday is February 14. Oh, and if that's not enough, make it more exciting, Easter is on April Fool's Day, April 1. You know, and so we go through that cycle year after year, and so in terms of celebrating and longing for the birth of Jesus, and then we go through the whole life of Jesus, and so so, you know, it's just one of those things that helps us on our own spiritual journey. Now, there's a lot of times I have to admit I don't see it. I really don't see it. In terms of the things that's happening, and I question, why is this happening? For example, it's just a small thing, but, you know, I a month ago, I did my yearly physical, and I went to the doctor, and my numbers are pretty good, you know, except my BMI. You know what that is. Many of you, my BMI, you know, is like a 3.87, something like that. And the doctor says, well, either you have to grow 2 or 3 more inches, or you'll have to lose some weight. Now, I hear this about every year, and so, you know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what do I need to do? I don't see it. I don't see the possibility of growing 2 inches. I don't see the possibility of losing, but I'm working on it, you know, just like perhaps a lot of us do. But there's a lot of other things that perhaps we look at and we say, I don't see it. I don't understand. I'll give you some examples of first of all, we hear about the Magi today. They ask about, where is this newborn king of the Jews? Now, the one who doesn't see it, and in fact it gets really fearful, is King Herod. They're talking about another king. And so they inquire, and so the priest, well, there's this Bethlehem of Judea, and et cetera, et cetera. You heard the gospel. Sneak and Larry proclaimed to you. Well, you know, and then the Magi heard this from another part, another world. They're not Jews. Of course, Christians hadn't come on the scene till after Jesus was raised from the dead. And so this great, these people, these kings from another world, they saw, they followed the star, and they asked questions, and they brought their gifts. Some other people that did not quite see it, but they followed the way of the Lord, was Abraham, father in faith. Abraham, along with his wife Sarah, also was called from another land. And he was promised that there would be many descendants, as countless as the stars. Couldn't understand how that was going to happen. He didn't see it at the time, but he followed the way of the Lord. And even when he was asked, after it was this great gift of Isaac, as a result of their love. In their old age, they were given a son named Isaac. And he was asked to sacrifice his only son. He didn't see it at first. God works through ways in which we have no idea. We have no concept. David is another one of those great examples in the scriptures. David, a shepherd boy, became the greatest ruler, the greatest king in the history of the Israelites. And yet he sinned so badly against God. The thing about David is that he knew his sin and he sought forgiveness and pardon of God. That's what really made him great. And it's from the great lineage then of David that the Lord Jesus, whom we celebrate today and every year, that we recognize this one who is one among those many. For us then, we come guided by the star, the light of faith. There are moments and perhaps in our life we may wonder whether it's work-related or school or relationships. You know, how is God working through this? We don't see it. I don't. Number of times. And yet we come as you have been guided by the light of faith here this evening. And we are called to bring the best of ourselves, whatever that is. Even in all of our sinfulness, we are called to bring the best of ourselves. And it's represented, you know, in the offering we take up, the gifts we bring forward, the bread and the wine, and we seek nourishment and strength that comes from God. It is seen and witnessed in the things that the youth did before Mass this evening. It is seen in taking the meals to the homeless and those who are in need. It is seen in going across the street or down the neighborhood to help another in need. It is seen in so many different ways of bringing our gifts, the gift of self. In these ways, we recognize that perhaps no one really understands how God's working, whether it's a physical ailment or whether it's relationship or even politically speaking or issues that exist within our church, the stuff that exists at school. How in the world is God working through this stuff? But you know, there's so many examples. We are so blessed of people like the ones I just mentioned, or even the people that you perhaps, again, can look across the aisle or in your neighborhood or family that have been so committed to God, followed God closely, and they have been tested. And those of you who I'm talking about, you know what that's like. You know, you've been there. And you didn't run away from God. You didn't go someplace else. You trusted in God. And that's the example that's been given to us. And the rest of us, we are called to see it, to follow after that, and in turn, be an example for somebody else. These are the things that God continuously reveals before us. And there again are moments we don't see it. Can't understand how that's going to work. How is this going to work? And while it's okay to ask the question, in my opinion, it's not really okay to run away. But to run, if we run anywhere, it's running to the Lord. It's running towards the Lord, having that confidence and trust that somehow God will bring that blessing to fruition in us. And so we pray. We pray for ourselves. We pray for members of our family, members of the church community who, for one reason or another, they're not in church this Sunday, nor will they perhaps be in church next Sunday, or maybe even all year long. And perhaps they're still good people. You know them. You know, you've been there. Or maybe you might even get there, you know, to where, you know, I don't know why this is all worth it. I don't know. You know, we use all kinds of different things that gives us a reason or excuse to moving another direction. But we're continuously challenged and tested to walk in the ways of God. So we pray. We pray for those who are struggling in any way. And we pray that each one of us may recognize the grace, the strength that's given to us in our God, because he shows us how to live most fully in the spirit of his son, Jesus. Let that grace be with us and the many other peoples for whom we pray as we make our journey to life. God bless us all.